نستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهد الله فهو المهتد، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، إخوتي في الله، اعلموا أن الله سبحانه وتعالى قد أوجب علينا التوبة. My dear respected brothers and sisters, we all should realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has indeed commanded us to be among the Taibeen and to seek al-istighfar, the forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who created us, and He is the one who revealed the book, and He is the one who's ruling and saying to us that a tawbah and an istighfar are wajib alaykum. As the ulama rahimahumullah, a wajib is mandatory, it's like a fard. As the ulama rahimahumullah said when they explained the ayah, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ، and repent to your Lord, all you who believers. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nur, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, ayah number 31, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded the ummah to seek forgiveness. يقول العلماء لك ابن القيم الجوزي رحمه الله in a book called مدارج السالكين, what is the difference between التوبه and الاستغفار, the difference between التوبه and الاستغفار. قال العلماء رحمهم الله, الله سبحانه وتعالى mentioned sometimes the term توبه and istighfar in the same ayah, and other times he mentioned the term istighfar, واستغفروا ربكم. But again he says واستغفروا ربكم ثم توبوا إليه, ask forgiveness of your Lord, ثم توبوا إليه, and return to your Lord in repentance. قال العلماء التوبة is الرجوع. At-tawbah is to return. Wal-istighfar al-mufaraqah. And the istighfar is to leave behind the sins that he used to commit. At-tawbah is a rujoo'. Wal-istighfar huwa al-mufaraqah. A-tark, to leave the things that he used to do. The ulama, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he encouraged the mu'mineen to seek forgiveness, and he said, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً, and Allah is talking highly about these certain people, who when they commit ma'asiyah, they come back to the sin, and they come back to reality, and they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive them. So he's saying, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً, أو ظلموا أنفسهم استغفروا الله ذكروا الله واستغفروا لذنوبهم. And those who when they committed ma'asiyah, sin or a foolishness or did wrong to themselves, they return to their Lord. They come back to their Lord seeking the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the ulama rahimahumullah said, An-nasu qisman. People, one of two. You can either be a ta'ib, a person who is seeking forgiveness, or a zalim, a wrongdoer. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hujurat, He said, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُبْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. And who does not repent are indeed among the wrongdoers. So the mu'min, if he doesn't repent, if he doesn't make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he is a zalim, he is a wrongdoer. يقول العلماء رحمهم الله, if the person is not among the ta'ibin, what are the things that he or she are losing? They said, number one, al-ilm. The person cannot have the ilm that will save him from hellfire if he's not a ta'ib. If he's not a mustaghfir, if he's not a person who repents to Allah, or a person who makes tawbah. A person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, at the end of ayah 81, I'm sorry, 281, he said, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهُ. And have the taqwa of Allah, and indeed, Allah will teach you. So if the person do the istighfar and comes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him the wisdom of ilm. And you know the story of Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah. Imam al-Shafi'i was one of the mu'jizat of Allah, one of the miracles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam al-Shafi'i, when he reads book, this is the way that he used to read. He used to hold this the left side of the book before he started reading the right side, because he had a photographic memory, to the point that if he sees this side before this side, he will memorize this side before this side. So he has to cover this side, radiyallahu anhu. And he used to walk into the library or bookstore, and he will flip the page of a certain book that he wants to read or he wants to buy, and he will put the book on the shelf back, and he will pay the person, and he will say, Jazakallah khair. And the man will say, Subhanallah, what about the book? He said, I already memorized it. No need for me to have it again. I already have it. Now, this particular person, rahimahullah, he had a problem. And the problem is that he would not be able to memorize anything anymore. This man who had this memory, he cannot memorize anything anymore, rahimahullah. So he said, I went to my sheikh, and his sheikh is Waqi' bin Hujjaj, rahimahullah, one of the ulama of hadith. He said, I went to Waqi' and I complained about my condition. I used to be like this, and this is my situation. And my sheikh, and this is the fa'ida of the ulama. If you sit under the sheikh, you learn from that sheikh. If you sit under the alim, you will get the benefit of the experience of that alim. But if you are the student or the scholar of a tape, or you know, you learn from your knowledge from a book that you think you read and you understood, then this is not the right way of seeking knowledge. So he said, I went to my sheikh complaining about my condition. So he said to me, and this is the hikmah that the alim used. He said, indeed you commit ma'asiyah. You disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, rahimahullah, say, Wallahi, what I did was, there was a lady who was passing by, a woman, single woman. And I have seen, I looked at her feet. And there was a piece of, you know, that part of her feet showing. So I looked at that. And because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deprived me of the memory that I had. So he put it in a very beautiful way, Imam Shafi. And he said, شَكَوْتُ إِلَى وَكِيعَ سُوءَ حِفْظِ. I went to Waqi' and I complained to him about the loss of my memory. فَأَرْشَدَنِي إِلَى تَرْكَ الْمَعَاصِ. So he directed me and he told me to leave the ma'asi behind, to leave it alone. وَقَالَ بِأَنَّ الْعِلْمُ نُورٌ. And he said to me that this ilm is a nur. وَالنُورَ اللَّهِ لَا يُهْدَى لِعَاصِ. And the nur of Allah, we see different they wrote it, hidayah, gift. لا يهدى لعاصي, it will never be given to a عاصي, to a person who is disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if the person, he doesn't always clean his record with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, purify himself, then the way of seeking knowledge will be very difficult. Ulama al-Hadith, they used to say, we used to seek protection and fasting in order for us to memorize and learn hadith. So the first thing that if the person is still committing a ma'asiyah, the first thing that he's losing is the barakah that Allah is giving to those people who will purify themselves. And that's why, maybe that's why in North America, we don't have that much ulama from this, you know, not from studying overseas and coming here, but from here. Because we see so much ma'asiyah. And most of the time, we take it so light, that is another problem, that I see a lady who's almost half naked, but it's okay. I work with a person like that, but it's okay. You know. And maybe that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is depriving this ilm from us. The ulama say, rahimahumullah, that a person, if he doesn't seek forgiveness in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not assist him to be among the righteous. If the person is not willing to repent and go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not willing to help and assist him to be among the righteous. Ulama say, rahimahumullah, what do we have to do to be among the tayyibin? Number one, they said you have uproot yourself. You have to remove yourself from the ma'asiyah. You have to stop. The first one is to uproot oneself from sin at the present time. You cannot say I'm a ta'ib at the same time committing a ma'asiyah. You cannot say I'm a ta'ib and you're still drinking. You cannot say I'm a ta'ib and you're still dealing with the riba like the sheikh said. You cannot say I'm a ta'ib and you're still looking at women who are not your mahari. You cannot say you're a ta'ib and you're still cheating and lying. Under that, the ulama said, if you're leaving the sin, then you should ask yourself a question. Why are you leaving the sin? For who? They said, the first condition that you need to have for you to leave this sin is to leave it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the fear of that this sin will come back to you and will destroy your dunya and akhirah. So you have to, the reason that you're leaving this ma'asiyah is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say, rahimahumullah, if the person is leaving the ma'asiyah because he may lose his job. This person is leaving this particular ma'asiyah because if he continues with this, he will lose his job. So did he leave for Allah or for his job? For his job. So they say he's another among the tithes. He's another tithe. For example, if the person leaves the zina, wal-iyadu billah, he does not commit zina. And the reason that he is leaving this ma'asi or he stopped doing this ma'asiyah is because he's afraid that if he continues, he may get disease. AIDS and, you know, you name it. So, is this person living the ma'asiyah for Allah? The ulama say no. This man, he's worried about himself, you know, physical. He's worried about this body, and he say, I don't want to destroy it. So, because of that, I don't want to deal with women of that. They say, rahimahumullah, if a person used to look women in a haram way, and he lost his sight, and he said, mashallah, now I'm among the ta'ibin. You know. They said, no, he cannot be like that, because the reason that he is not capable of doing that is because he cannot do it. If a person, the only reason that he left having, you know, having a relation with women, haram women, is because he is not no more capable of doing that, then it is not a tawbah. An accident happened to him, he's not, nothing is working for him. So, he's not that tawbah, it is not accepted. If the person, for example, leaving the, what we call it, rishwa, bribery. He's leaving this act because he thinks that they may find out and they may, you know, put him in a chair, in prison, or he may lose his job, then it's not acceptable. That's number one. Number two, to feel remorse, to feel sorry for what he did. This is the condition for your condition and my condition to be accepted. It's number two, you have to feel sorry for what you did in the past. You cannot think about it and enjoy it, or desire to go back to it, or say, subhanAllah, you know, there was good days. That is not acceptable. So you should feel that the reason that you're leaving this is because you feel sorry, or you should feel sorry, the second condition, you feel sorry for committing the ma'asiyah that you committed. And subhanAllah, Imam in rahimahullah, Imam Zain al-Abidin, again, he had a beautiful statement. He used to say, "Da'ni ash-shuh ad-dumu'a la inqita'a 'ala." He said, "Let me weep and cry and non-stop. Don't let me stop. Asa qataratan minha tukhallisuni. Maybe a drop from my eye will save me in the day of judgment from the ma'asiyah that I did." And he used to say, "أنا الذي أغلق الأبواب مجتهدا على المعاصي وعين الله تنظرني." Subhanallah. He say, it is I who used to close himself behind the doors and commit ma'asiyah, do ijtihad, you know, struggle for ma'asiyah. وعين الله تنظرني. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me. So when the person has respect for the mankind, for the people, but he has no respect for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not only that, but he feels that if he had an opportunity, he will go back to it. And he doesn't feel sorry for what he did. The ulama said, his tawbah is naqisa. It is not complete. His tawbah, it is not complete. The third point that the ulama rahimahumullah mentioned is to have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He will not accept his tawbah. That He will not accept his tawbah. You should always be afraid of that. That I said astaghfirullah. I said astaghfirullah, but I made the tawbah. I did everything that I should, but my tawbah maybe is not accepted. And Ali ibn Abi Talib rahimahullah, he used to say, "Ma min al-istighfari ما يحتاج إلى استغفار من الاستغفار ما يحتاج إلى الاستغفار." He says some of the استغفار, seeking forgiveness, it needs another استغفار on the top of that. He said the reason, because you sit here and you say استغفرالله استغفرالله استغفرالله, you're looking left and right, and you know your heart is somewhere else, you're talking about other people, you're really not making استغفار. So he say, because of that action, it means another istighfar. يقول استغفر الله من استغفر الله استغفر الله من استغفر الله من لفظة بدرت خالفت معاني خالفت معانيها. He said استغفر الله for a statement that I made, but I'm completely doing opposite of what I said. The fourth point that a person needs is for his tawbah to be accepted is to make up what he missed. To make sure that if it was a zakat on him that he did not pay for the past year or 2 years, he should pay. To make sure that if he took some money from some particular person, he should pay that person back. He should do that. You gotta make up, he has to make up for what he missed. You also need, the person needs for the tawbah to be complete, that he has to leave the bad company that he used to hang out. The rifqat as-su. You know the hadith Sahih al-Bukhari, the man who killed 99 person. And he came to a abid. He came a man who was sitting in the masjid or doing dhikr. And he said, Ya Akhi, I killed 99 people. Is there any tawbah for me? He said, A'udhu Billah. Person like you? No. You know. So he said, since there's no tawbah, you know, let me complete 100, inshaAllah. You know. So he killed him. When he killed a man, you know, he also was not too happy for what he did. So he started looking for someone else. So he went to Alim, and Alim said, Ya Akhi, who can close the gates of Tawbah? No one. SubhanAllah. No one. But this is the Nasiha and the Hadith. This is the Shahid of the Hadith. He said, but you have to leave this land. If the people that you're staying with, or you're living with, or you're being around with, are not encouraging you to come back to Allah and to continue with your tawbah, and the only thing they're doing is to push you, to pull you back, then you have to leave them. Whether your friends, your family, your relative, it doesn't make a difference. You have to stay away from those people. Number seven, the ulama, rahimahullah. Is it number seven or number three? Are you sure? Yeah. What was the first one? For the sake of Allah. The second one? Or the third one? Fourth? Okay, I have five tips that, so leave the company. Number seven? Okay, alhamdulillah, you're still up. Now, number six, you have to destroy anything that will remind you of the ma'asiyah. Now, if you used to smoke, wal-iyadu billah, and you have the cigarette next to your bed, and you say, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, and you know, you do the istighfar and everything, but this thing still exists. It will remind you all the time. It will remind you of itself. So the ulama say you gotta destroy that. The other thing like music, listening to the tapes, music and singing. We know in Sharia it's haram. But if you have the tapes inside of your house, they're full. Alhamdulillah. I mean, you have 60 to 70 of them, and you still have them, and you make the tawbah, and shaitan is playing games with you. Oh, inshallah, you can tape Quran over it. Or you can do this, that, over it. And then you come back to it all the time and say, you know, inshallah, once a week, then let us, you know, take it one step at a time. You know, don't listen during the daytime, listen during the nighttime. And take, no, you gotta destroy, you gotta get rid of it. Get rid of it. So all the tapes of music, anything that is haram, you have to remove from the house. If a person, iyadu billah, used to commit a zina, commit zina. That he, you know, he sees this person, or, you know, he always involved with that person, it's not going to help. If the person used to drink, but he still has some wine in his house left behind, it's not going to help. Because the shaitan is very tricky. He will trick you to that. And when you go back to the ma'asiyah, when you go back to the mistake, it will be very difficult for you to make a second tawbah. And the shaitan will keep telling you, astaghfirullah, you're playing games with Allah. You just made a tawbah, so there's no hope for you since you came back. Why don't you just continue with it? Or, like the sister asked the question, I'll wait till the taqwa and iman comes to my heart, then because of that, I will leave the ma'asiyah. All these are the tricks of shaitan, and we should be, you know, aware of it. The question would be, where are the right time to make tawbah? When is the right time? Can I make tawbah any time? Or there's a particular time I should be worried about? Ulama say, rahimahumullah, make sure you make your tawbah before you die. If you make a lot of tawbah in the grave, it will not help you. If you recite the whole Quran in your grave, it will not help you. Not that you cannot. It will not help you. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the gates of tawbah are open. ما لم يغرغر. As long the person it is not في حالة الغرغر, in the situation of غرغر. And the غرغر is when the soul reaches here. That's the غرغر. Before that, your tawbah is accepted. Your tawbah is accepted. Make sure you make the tawbah. What time we pray, Maghrib? Make sure you make the tawbah before that time comes. And the second time is when the sun rises from the west. This is the day, Yawm al-Qiyamah, one of the signs of Yawm al-Qiyamah, that your tawbah will not be accepted. Now, the ulama rahimahumullah, when concerned the tawbah, the times that you need to make tawbah is before these two times. But what is the best way of making tawbah? The best way of making tawbah, they said, the ulama rahimahullah, if the situation involves with someone else, you perfected the seven things that we mentioned, and then you add one more thing. And that is, this is to perfect the tawbah, not how to make the tawbah, but to perfect the tawbah, is to return al-mazalim ila ahliha. Al-mazalim ila ahla, you return whatever you took from people to those who you took from them. Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, if the thing is not material, it's not things that you can touch or see or feel it, then make sure that you make up for what you did. How? على سبيل المثال, they said, رحمه الله, he said, if you backbite someone, what is the solution for the ma'asir that you commit? You cannot say, well, take your money back, it is not a money. You cannot say, take your car back, it is not a car, if you sold a car. But how can I return this to that person? Imam Ibn Taymiyyah said, Imam Malik, Imam Abi Hanifa, and Imam Shafi'i, rahimahumullah, they say, whether you like it or not, you have to take this property or make the statement that you made against that person and tell him that you did this to him, or take whatever that you took from him back to him. If you stole this book, make sure you return this book to that particular person. If you backbite a particular person, you go to that person and you say, Ya Akhi, I did this, please forgive me. Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he said, ننظر المفاسد والمصالح. Let us see both sides. If by you taking this book back to the person will cause greater fitna, then don't return. If you, a person steals this book from one of the stores, and he says to the kafir, "Ya akhi, listen, I make tawbah, alhamdulillah. You know, I want to complete all the shurud of tawbah, all the conditions of tawbah. Yeah, can you take your book back?" Yeah, they will take it, and they will also call 911. So, you're only creating a greater fitna for yourself. So he said, if that is the case, and you're going to create a greater fitna to you, for yourself, then don't take it back, but give a sadaqah. If the person is a Muslim, give a sadaqah for the intention that this is for that from that person, it's not for me. If what you said is a statement, you made a statement, you say, "Brother Ali or Brother Omar, it's like this, this," and you backed by that particular person, and you know Brother Saeed, if you came and say, "Brother Saeed, I did this, this, and said this, this about you," you know, either I'm going to announce this after the khutbah of Jum'ah, or I will do worst thing to you. Then the ulama said, don't tell him, but ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you, and make sure you go back to the same gathering that you made a statement and tell them, "Ya ikhwa, listen, I made a mistake, and he is not what I said." So you clean his account. You clear his account for the thing that you said about him. Now, this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept your tawbah. If the tawbah, Imam Ibn Taymiyyah, Imam Nawawi, he mentioned the four major things. To remove yourself from the sin. To feel remorse and sorry for what you did. To not willing going back. Not willing to go back to that. And قال فإن كان بينك وبين أخيك مظلمة, if it's the ma'asiyah between you and your brother, make sure that you return that. So this is the four main condition of according to Imam Nawawi rahimahullah. We also have to understand that there is no exception. We all have to commit a ma'asiyah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Kull ibn Adam khata." All of the children or the sons of Adam make mistakes. They all make mistakes. No one is free from error. No one is free from ma'asiyah. "Kull ibn Adam khata." وخير الخطائين التوابون. The best among the people who committed sin or ma'asiyah are those who repent and make tawbah to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in repentance. So how many conditions do we have so far? Harith. What is the first one? To do it for the sake of Allah. Second one, to feel remorse. Third, what's in here? Abdul Basit. Qari Abdul Basit? MashaAllah. What is the third one? What is number four? Make up of what you did. Now, this is what you need to have. Without it, your tawbah, it is not complete. Without it, it's your tawbah. Ulama say, rahimahumullah, it is not acceptable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a condition, and he said that, see, this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, we should not ever feel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is abandoning us or he's not giving us an opportunity. That Allah, he said, Allah forgives all the sins, except shirk. All the sins that we commit, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is willing to forgive. وَقَالَ وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you opportunity. And he is saying, I'm extending my hand to you to forgive the sins that you commit during the day. And for the night, I'm extending my hand for you so I can forgive the sins that you commit during the night. But the only thing that is needed from us is the will. And to say astaghfirullah for the ma'asi that I commit. To say, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, I have wronged myself and I'm going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ya ikhwa, before it's too late, and before the malak al-maut comes, and before we say, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned Surah Al-Mu'minun, قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَتْ. They say, oh Allah, take me back, so I may do good for what I left behind. Before we get to that point, before we feel sorry for the thing that, for the time that we passed, and for the time that we waste, let us take the opportunity and make istighfar and make sure your accounts are clear. The ulama said it's not fitting for a person, for a mu'min, to sleep at night without doing istighfar, without making istighfar. You all know Hadith Abdullah ibn Amr, Hadith Anas Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is a beautiful hadith. It concerns a person who makes istighfar, not only for himself, but also for the Muslim brothers. And he has no animosity in his heart for anyone else. He clears his account, and he clears the accounts of others by saying, wallahi, if they did me wrong, I forgive them. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As was sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the masjid. So before the man walked into the masjid, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, a man from Ahl Jannah will come through that door. So the man walked in and he performed two rak'ah and he left. For the second day, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, a man from Jannah will come through that door. He did the same thing, the man came and he left. For the third day, he said, a man from Ahl Jannah. Now Abdullah ibn Amr said, this is too much. You know, 3 days in a row, what is this? Why is this man so special? So the man stayed, and he performed turaq, and he left. Now Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As, he wants to know, why this man is so special. He said, ya akhi. He walked, and he went to the man, and he said, can you take me as a guest? Can you take me as a guest? Alhamdulillah, كان من الأنصار. He said, why not? رضي الله عنه وارضى. He spent the time with this man, and we know Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As. He was a mashallah abid, as we mentioned earlier. But he's watching this man, and this man is not doing any ibadat, you know, externally. He said, I do more ibadah than you do. I pray qiyam al-layl all night long, and you sleep. I fast all day long, every year, every day. But you eat and drink and sometimes fast. For the third day, he said, ya akhi, what is your problem? Why are you so special? Just let me know, what is the problem? Tell me the secret of your, you know, success. This is how the business deal, you know. Tell me the secret of your success or I could be like you. Well, we'll take it to hellfire. Now, he said, tell me, what do you do? He said, huwa kama tara. It is the, what do you see? I don't do anything different. He said, the reason I ask you to take me as a guest is because of what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. فَهَمَّ بِالْخُرُوجِ. So he wants to leave. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As. Then the man called him back. He said, يَا أَخِي هُوَ مَا تَرَى. He said, it is what you see. I don't do anything. You know, I know this is how my life, this is my way of life, this is my style. Except before I go to sleep, I forgive all the Muslims who did me wrong. قَالَ هُوَ ذَكِ. This is what it is. This is what it is. Now, imagine this Sahabi. He is not only asking forgiveness for himself, but he went to the extent that he forgives anyone who did him wrong. Umar ibn Khattab used to say, حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسِبُوا. Hold yourself accountable. Hold yourself accountable before someone else does that for you. We need to understand that the ma'asiyah, it is qadr. We all have to commit a ma'asiyah. As the ulama said, rahimahumullah, a person may make ma'asiyah, And then he make tawbah out of that ma'asiyah, and he may go back to say ma'asiyah. But that should never stop him from seeking the istighfar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. جزاكم الله خير استغفر الله
جزاك الله خير سعيد واجي إن شاء الله we'll give you questions and answers so if you have some questions forward them up please إن شاء الله
السلام عليكم the sister is saying can you sell CDs tapes that you know once you used to listen long time ago and now probably what I understand from the question the person made tawbah and now she wants to do business out of it. Out of the rest of the tape. يقول العلماء, this is a قاعدة فقهية. ما لا يجوز أخذ لا يجوز إعطاء. ما لا يجوز أخذه لا يجوز إعطاءه. What is not permissible for you, what is not permissible for you to take it, it is not permissible for you to give it for free. If it's not, and this is what, in my masjid, a brother would come to you with a gift, and it's a bottle of champagne, pain, or something like that, or wine, and he said, this is my Christmas gift. You know, my boss gave me this, and I did not want to say no to him, I don't want to disrespect him. So, subhanAllah, he's disrespecting Allah, but not the kafir. But he said, you know, can I, you know, give it away as a gift? Can I give it away as a gift? I said, يا أخي لا يجوز لك الأخذ. It is not permissible for you to take it. It is not permissible for you to say, I take it. He said, يا أخي, I'm giving da'wah. Giving da'wah? You cannot give da'wah by disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he went farther and he said, I'm giving da'wah to one of my co-workers. So, he invited me to a nightclub. I want to give him da'wah. So I didn't say no to him. But I drank coke, mashallah. I was so proud of him, mashallah, that he had coke, not beer, in the night club. Alhamdulillah, only coke. Now, the qa'idah shari'iyah is, if something is haram for you to take it, it is not permissible for you to give it away for free. It is not permissible for you to buy it, it is not permissible for you to sell it. You understand the qa'idah? If it's haram for you to buy it, it is also haram for you to sell it. Like the Sheikh Ibn Sunni was saying, like some people they sell pork, lottery. It is haram for you to buy it and haram for you to sell. So if the CDs, inshallah, I don't think so, 10 CDs or 20 CDs will not make us richer. How much you can make out of it? But inshallah, if you destroy it for the sake of Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will replace that with a lot of barakah. كما قال الله سبحانه وتعالى وَمَا أَنْفَقْتُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَهُوَ يُخْلِفُ. Whatever you spend, and this inshallah, with good intention, we consider this something that you spend for the sake of Allah, the money that you, because in haram where you can gain money out of it. So you do this, you do it inshallah, for good intention. And Allah will reward you. But please don't sell it. Don't sell it. Trust me, it's not a good idea. The brother is asking, is it haram? Is it okay?
My question is it alright to work somewhere that they sell alcohol pork? Even though I'm not selling it, is it alright to work there? Like I might clean the floors of that place, but I don't sell it.
وَدَعُ لَمَا سَرَحِمَهُمُ اللَّهِ This barura and normal situation. There's a necessity and normal condition. This particular question, if a person cannot find a job, and this is the only way, this is the only way that he can make money out of it, the only way, and he's not touching this, it has a different hukum. But in normal cases, especially in this society, it is not permissible. It is not permissible. I don't think so. You know, we are that, you know, extend to the point that you cannot, you know, earn your income through, except through this particular thing. Is it different? Is it any different to wrong non-Muslims? And then,
is it?
I can't see.
Is it any different to wrong a non-Muslim as then as then, oh, is it any different to wrong a non-Muslim and then ask forgiveness? What if that is not possible?
Muslim or non-Muslim, we're not supposed to harm anyone. Animals, human beings, you know, plants, we're not supposed to harm anyone which is not harming us back or causing us any harm. It is not permissible for you for many reasons. Number one, if this person doesn't deserve that, number one, you're giving negative da'wah. And the person will think that, you know, this is what Islam is all about. First of all, we have to understand there's Islam and there's Muslims. And they're completely different things. We all know that. Islam is the, you know, original teachings of this deen. And Muslims are like you and I. You know, we lie, we cheat, we, you know, fool around, we do many things. When it comes to the kuffar, they don't know Islam. They know Muslims. So when they see you, they're not going to say, well, their book, mashallah, is protected, is holy, you know, it doesn't contain all this garbage. No, they will think this is Islam. So you're doing wrong da'wah, negative da'wah to non-Muslims. And maybe you will push away a person who was about to come, be a Muslim. One of the brothers in Saudi Arabia, he was working with a non-Muslim company. So he was on time. I mean, this man was really on time in everything. MashaAllah. He would do his assignment the way he should. He would be perfect Muslim, alhamdulillah. So the manager of that company, he said, I want to be like that person. They said, he's a Muslim. He said, no. I don't want to be Muslim. I want to be like him. They said, but he's a Muslim. He said, no. I know Muslims. You know, Muslim country, the way they behave. You know, they're really unacceptable. He said, I don't want to be like them. I want to be like this man. I want to learn his deen. They said his deen is the Quran. He said, no, I don't want the Quran. I want his Quran. You know, he wants his Quran. But they said, this is the only Quran. He said, how come this man is like this and the rest are like this? They said, he follows the Quran and they follow their desire. So because of that, he accepted Islam, alhamdulillah. That man accepted Islam because of the akhlaq of that particular man. Now, number one, as we mentioned, you're doing negative da'wah, and that's unacceptable. Number two, you're harming a person, you're doing it wrong to a person who, if this is the case, we're talking about a normal case, who has, this is not his fault. So we should not do that. If we're not allowed to harm the animals and trees, then min bab al-awla, then we're not allowed to have mankind. The other thing is that if you seek forgiveness and the person is not willing to forgive you, then it's similar to the condition of a Muslim. It's similar to the condition of a Muslim. Some ulama said, a kafir laysa lahu hurma. Kafir has no dignity. But that is when we have, you know, not in situation like this, but when we are fighting the enemies. That's when we are really fighting. And don't we not consider this is a land of da'wah, it's not land of jihad. Otherwise, inshallah, where's your guns? Let's go and kill someone. You know. This is a land of da'wah. It's an opportunity. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking you, pull you from your country and make you live here for the purpose of giving the da'wah. That's it. Not to make money, not to be a doctor, not to have degrees on the wall. Nothing else, but to give it da'wah.
Is there anything that I can see or tell if I wanted to know if Allah has forgiven me or has forgiven me?
The ulama said, what is a sign that a person will know that his sins have been forgiven? As we mentioned earlier, the person should not think that, mashallah, my sins are forgiven now, let me take the next step and let me open a new file of ma'asi. No, he should not do that. You should always have, you know, worries that Allah may not accept my sin. The ulama said, one of the signs that you may see is that you will always hate the ma'asiyah. You always hate it. You say, alhamdulillah that Allah has saved me from that.
And usually we heard this when we are with the new Muslims. They say, "Ya akhi, if you know the jahil that Allah has saved me from, you would be a different person." And the second thing is that the person would not go back to the same ma'asiyah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect him from that. And the third thing, that the person, the end of the person will be khair inshallah. And the way he died will show that his tawbah is acceptable inshallah. So by this inshallah, a person may see the sign of the acceptance of his tawbah inshallah.
One more question and we'll break for break. It says, Assalamu alaikum. Have you heard of a Sahih Bukhari hadith about forgiveness and istighfar not being granted after the age of 60? Is this authentic? And there's another question is, you want to go with this question?
In Sahih al-Bukhari, I mean, if somebody says, في حلية الأولياء, you know, في المسند بن سعد, the Sahih al-Bukhari, I don't think that's the case. Allahu A'lam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is not how Islam is taught. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all forgiven. And the gates of Tawbah, it's open. And in Sahih al-Bukhari, as a matter of fact, in Hadith, authentic hadith, that says there's an angel on the gate of Tawbah that will not allow that gate to be closed before Yawm al-Qiyamah. So the only time that dua, the Tawbah of the person is not acceptable, is when the soul reaches the gharghara, as we say, this bone, and when the sun rises from the west. If you have any certain thing or dalil, inshallah, we're willing to listen.
And the second question is, will Allah accept the repentance of a person doing wrong to a man when the man that was done wrong to did not forgive that individual? Is it still a chance for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept that person's tawbah?
If the person did wrong to someone, and he said to him, "Ya akhi, please forgive me," and he did not forgive him, the ulama said most likely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward this person that did not forgive him the day of judgment in return, because he damaged a haq which is not belonging to him, and the person said, "I want my haq," and he wants to have his haq. So in the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, instead, he will reward this person that's been done, that wrong being done to him. Wallahu a'lam.